If you remember, guys, last week we were up to the Nevi'im Hayim, and we noted that Lishma, there were those who proposed models that Lishma means for the purpose of the Tara'i, Lomod HaMenat La'asot, right? To learn in order to do. Then we saw those who said it's really Lishma for Shem Hashem. The Rambam seems to, though it's a little bit more ambiguous, go in that direction. The purpose of learning is Dvekud. And then there was learning L'shem learning. Learning Lishma, Kishma, Kane, who? And Ruchaim Kanievsky, Ruchaim Velozhin, and Nefesh Chaim, I mean, I'm sure he agreed with this too, but Ruchaim Velozhin, Nefesh Chaim takes this, and at first glance, he takes this quite extreme because he brings this the Midrash, and he says that in the Midrash, David HaMelech turns to God and he says, "Oh God, may it be your will that learning Torah is like Tehillim." That saying Tehillim is like learning Torah because it's about Dveikut. And the Hasidim use that as a raya that, it's about Dveikus and you should daven, and the Pashut Yid who doesn't know a lot of Torah can also be really close to God and things like that. That's what they do. And Chaim Kanievsky says, what do you mean? God didn't say yes. But it's like, what are you talking about? Right? No. And he says it is L'shem HaTorah. And we saw already in the Beit HaLevi, he said yes. If you learn Torah in order to keep the mitzvah, then you're using it as a means to an end. And that's horrible. You're supposed to do it as an end, and that's why people didn't make bracha. And that was the problem. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because people learned only on Menat Lazar. That was the great thing. Whoa. Okay. So what we're up to is, well, what does Ruchaim Kanievsky... Why am I doing this? I'm so tired. What does Ruchaim Velozhin say? What is this Lishma of Ruchaim Velozhin? Okay? So before we continue in the Nefesh HaChaim, I want to show you two theses, one by Rabbi Lam and one by Rav Krumbein. Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, who was the late president, chancellor, Rosh HaYeshiva of YU at different points. Like president, then became president emeritus and chancellor, and then he was Rosh HaYeshiva. In his book, Torah Lishma, and then Rabbi Yaakov Krumbein was, for many years, he's still alive, Rabbi Lam is not, was a Shoal Meshiv for Night Seder in Gush, and was also the Shoal Meshiv for the Kol Gavoa at some point. Someone from whom I learned a tremendous amount of Torah. He's one of those very quiet Talmidei Chachamim. Like, he didn't give so many shirim. He was mostly Shoal Meshiv and gave like a few chaburot to the Kolel, but he knows everything and is just like one of those amazing people to talk to. And like any question you have, you know, doesn't matter what. Like, I once asked him a halacha lemaisa question on mi'ila bikonamo. Right. No. Right. Rabbi Thwait, Rav Krumbein knows everything. Everything. It's so scary. Like, he's the sweetest, quietest person ever. He knows everything. He's amazing. I love Rav Krumbein so much. He wrote a series on Torah Lishma at some point. So if you turn to the next page, and then what I want to do is read their thesis, then come back and see which one of them you agree with. So he says as follows. Cognitive Lishma and triviality questions. So Dr. Lom succinctly summarized this view as follows. The intellectual comprehension of Torah is the purpose of its study. Right, that is how Rabbi Lam understands it. That Lishma means... Lishma is for Torah. That's it. That's all there is to it. Understanding Torah is its own self-justifying purpose. Don't give me more than that. In attempting to understand this approach, we confront a difficult question that very much resembles the dilemma we face in dealing with the functional definition of Lishma, namely the triviality issue. Of course. We will... Right? Like, what's the point, right? We will address this question as a means of getting a deeper and more precise understanding of the phenomenon of Lishma. It appears at first glance that this designation of learning for Torah, for learning's sake, as a lofty goal, attests to the fact that Rav Chaim viewed learning as the highest of all goals. In truth, however, identifying this objective as the most important thing of all hardly glorifies the enterprise of Torah learning. Quite to the contrary, it lowers it. Right? So this is his first problem, is... Right, Rav Chaim Velozhin seems to raise Torah on a pedestal by saying, it is the greatest thing ever. How do I know? Because the only purpose of it is itself. He says, I mean, okay, but is that
obviously a way of declaring it's the most important thing in the world? Not. Obviously, when you read the Rambam, he's like, yes, you learn Torah so that you love God. You know, at least when I read the Rambam, I didn't read it and say, it's a means to an end. I mean, pathetic. Pathetic. But like, you know, loving God, that's like knowing God. This is like a... And it sounds lofty to me. So he says, firstly, how much effort is required on the student's part to ensure that study constitutes Torah Lishma? Right? He said, many people enjoy learning, and Torah study in particular poses a mighty intellectual challenge to anybody who enjoys intellectual engagement. Pursuit of intellectual satisfaction comes naturally to many, and for them, there is no need to encourage it or to preach it. The cognitive definition of Lishma takes the natural intellectual curiosity that automatically surfaces with regards to any serious study and simply puts it on a pedestal. Such a definition does not substantiate the perspective that emerges from all the sources, namely, that Lishma is a lofty goal and a difficult level to achieve, a criterion which demands the student's special effort apart from the learning itself. One second, let's just take his claims, okay? Right, so his first problem is triviality. Right? Second problem, or first problem, I don't know, is at some level for many people, Lishma, at first glance, it sounds like it's just like, I enjoy the intellectual pursuit of Torah, but if that's all it meant, is that really Lishma? It sounds like Lishma is a very hard level, but you know, a lot of people enjoy Torah the way they enjoy quantum physics, the way they enjoy logic. Is that really the level of the Shema that you're looking at? But this perspective not only downplays the efforts of the student, it also diminishes the overall experience. This phenomenon is paradoxical, but nevertheless real. On the one hand, the basic assumption of learning for the sake of Torah itself is a very pretentious one. We are to exert such immense efforts in Torah and not divert attention to other areas because there's nothing more lofty and exalted than Torah. Yet, this lofty nature of Torah is very distant from the mind and experience of the student who is trained to concentrate solely on understanding the material, a motivation that seems no different from that which drives any academic scholar to explore his field of research. With all due respect to importance of innate human curiosity, its cultivation is the primary motivator in Torah study, in effect, removes the person from the sanctity and transcendence that fill the Torah qualities, which themselves are the ideological basis of Lishma. Right? So his second problem is like, yeah, it just sort of makes Torah like any other discipline. So what you're saying is that I should just focus on what I'm studying for the sake of studying. I shouldn't think of why I'm doing this, right? Anytime I think about doing it, it's lowering it. So like, why is that when I do it with Torah? So the fact that it's Torah, so that makes it the holy of the holies. And I do it with physics and it isn't the holy of the holies. Like, I get it. It's Torah. But still, like, there's something which sounds cheapening. If it's like, no, it's not about God. It's about, because you could say, well, what makes Torah special is from God. But I'm not supposed to do it for the love of God. Right? If you really take it like that, that's a little bit hard. Good. Ezra wants to defend that Rabbi Lamb, though.
I don't know how to fully answer all the questions, but for his first problem with it, I think it's misunderstood about the opinion. Because what I think that the intellectual comprehension is the purpose. But he's, in his question, he's making it seem like, right, I don't think that the intellectual enjoyment is the purpose. But that's not the case. What I'm saying is the word intellectual.
Okay, right, so we could talk, is it the comprehension, is it the enjoyment, right? Enjoyment, I think we did in the context of Lo Lishma, that we did the Eglei Tal, right? The Eglei Tal, so by every other mitzvah, the enjoyment is not part of the mitzvah, and here it's part of the mitzvah, right? So we could distinguish.
So I think if you had a good question, if Lishma is enjoyment,
right? Okay, but some of his critiques are true, whether it's enjoyment or understanding. Okay, fine. So how does he want to defend it? Let's go through this, okay? We won't necessarily read everything. I've given you large parts of his article. Actually, not that large. I give you parts of his article. Not actually that much. So first he's going to present one, what he's going to call negative lishmas, and then he's going to present his own view, and then we'll go back to Reb Chaim Volozhin himself. So first he quotes one from Yeshayahu Leibovich. So Yeshayahu Leibovich was an interesting character. It's hard to describe Yeshayahu Leibovich. He was the more intense brother of Nechama Leibovich. He believed basically in halacha for the sake of halacha, for the sake of halacha, for the sake of halacha. So he was like, I don't know whether this is a real story. This is either a real story or the apocryphal stories that you would only tell about Yishai Leibovich, that he was opposed to the entire idea of Tamei Mitzvot. He just thought that the reason to keep halacha is because it's halacha. And therefore, apparently, as the story goes, again, it is very likely not true, but that he would do everything in his power to avoid Purim. He would leave Yerushalayim. He would be in Yerushalayim on Yadalit and then leave on Tedvav because to show, again, it may not be true, but to show that the only value of halacha is that I'm keeping it. So it's not doing the mitzvah is not valuable. It's keeping halacha. So if I'm keeping halacha without doing the mitzvah, I'm keeping halacha. But even weirder was that he thought ethics existed, but they weren't part of halacha, but you were bound by them anyways as a separate system of, he's a very interesting thinker, very complicated thinker. He's a darling of the Israeli left. Also like super brilliant, had like multiple PhDs by like 21 or something, like very, very smart. And not in like similar things. It was like in chemistry and philosophy and... Yes, I Wikipedia, in describing him, it doesn't say, it says Israeli polymath. That is his diet, that is his definition. Yes, he studied, he studied chemistry and philosophy in University of Berlin, and then got his doctorate, and then studied biochemistry and medicine, and got an MD. Yeah. Anyways... And then he was senior professor of, he was professor of biochemistry, organic chemistry, neurology, philosophy, and history of science. Okay. Yeah. Right. Smart guy. Anyways, so Professor Leibovich's view, what he calls the negative lishma. So he says, let us return to the commentary of the Rush that formed the basis of Rav Chaim's view, in order to know and understand, and not for the contention or to pride oneself. In light of these remarks, we might claim that focusing on the intellectual ambition is in fact not much of a job, as we noted above. The challenge in Lishma lies rather in divesting oneself of improper intentions. Right, so the first possibility, right, and this goal can be quite demanding, right? So the first possibility he suggests, based on Professor Leibovich, is that to understand Rav Chaim Volozhin, what he means is not that there is any positive content to Lishma. The challenge of Lishma is to have none of those problematic low Lishmas that we talked about 2 weeks ago, none of them. Because it's one thing to say, I'm driven by intellectual curiosity, by desire to know the material. But I also happen to have fun. I also happen to like the fact that I'm smarter than some other people. Right? According to the first possibility, is that makes it low lishma. At lishma, what's hard about it is that it is pure. And then it's not that I'm doing it also because I want to just learn Torah. That's fine. It's that I'm only doing it for that. And again, I'm just going to skip through this a little bit, but he says this approach, next paragraph, which we may call the negative lishma, can in fact be expanded beyond the moral issue of conceit. To illustrate this, let's refer to the views of Professor Yeshayahu Leibovich, one of the important Jewish thinkers of modern times. Leibovich attached great significance to the intention which ought to accompany mitzvah observance, and his views on this subject occupied much of his writing and lecturing. It must be noted that he did not view Torah study as a central value. In this sense, he differs from Chaim Volozhin. When he deals with the definition of Lishma, he is talking about the entire range of mitzvot observance. In any event, and this is what I said, he's like the uber halachist. In any event, his definition very closely resembles the approach of Nefesh Chaim towards Torah learning. Namely, one should not perform a mitzvah for any purpose other than the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah as God has commanded it. The value of a mitzvah lies with the mitzvah itself and not in any purpose that may flow from it. One who reads Leibovich's seminal essay, Mitzvot Maasiyot, senses the extent to which he follows the negative lishma track. Skip to the next paragraph if you want to actually see it in Leibovich's words. A prayer of an impoverished man when he is faint, that's a pasuk, is individual and changes according to the person in place. In the end, it is merely satisfaction that a person gives to his soul, a service that he performs for himself. A prayer of mercy and supplication is nothing more than a psychological phenomenon which is irrelevant from a religious perspective. He got into a fight with Lichtenstein about this, right? Yeah, he was like, tefillah, and you feeling connected to God, that is irrelevant. Irrelevant from the perspective of God. That is not religious. Rav Lichtenstein's response, as I gathered, was, you are crazy, in much fancier English, or Hebrew, I don't know. Prayer, like other action-oriented mitzvot, is meant to express one thing, accepting the yoke of the divine command. If the commandments are the service of God and not a service of a person, they must not be directed toward personal needs. And therefore, he hated Tamei HaMitzvot. He called it a theological concept and not a religious faith concept. The reason of a commandment is the service of God, not the provision of a human need or interest. In short, a person serving God is meant to detach himself from his understanding, his experiences, and his emotions, and accept the yoke of halacha. The characteristic quality of halacha, this is a quote, is the lack of pathos. Okay. What? It's chok.
And we thought migdal.
Correct. Chok all the way down, all the way up, all the way left, all the way up, all the way. Yes.
And we thought migdal was one of the
emotions. Oh, you know, you don't understand. So he says, one possibility is that, now he says, this is clearly, if you want to say that Rechaim Elazhin is essentially something like Leibovich, you'll say, well, this is definitely not easy. But then he says, but is it trivial? So he says, in the next paragraph, a developed religious personality possessing a high level of spiritual sensitivity may experience existential and emotional suffocation if he accepts the need to rid himself of all his spiritual ambitions and feelings and of all the spiritual significance that he had previously ascribed to his praying and other mitzvot and accustom himself to acts that entail only subjugation to divine will. But the average person may feel the relief of a lightened burden if we release him from the need to deepen his concentration experience and recommend that he fulfill mitzvot as ends in themselves without any awareness of their reason or their meaning in his life. This may partly explain why many people of secular backgrounds are attracted to Leibovich's viewpoint. It seems to me that Leibovich himself implicitly addresses this in an essay, the issue that we call triviality. He actually concedes the point and pleads guilty. but somewhat surprisingly, he sees nothing problematic with this conclusion. This can be seen when he refers to the argument of his opponents that God desires the heart, right? People said to him, but the Gemara says, Rachmana Liba boy, God wants hearts. He said, the heart's intention is paramount. And hence, what value can there be in a religion that consists of a lifestyle ingrained by training and habituating to the point where it becomes second nature? That was their question. His answer, a man's duty done by rote, that's a quote, by the way, from Yeshayahu, where God curses people, mitzvot, right, anashim melumada, that people do things by rote. Yeshayahu said, that's not a curse. A man's duty done by rote is not a flaw in religiosity by any means. He adds that only the prophet Yeshayahu, he's aware of the fact that Yeshayahu the prophet didn't like this. He's like, I don't really care what Yeshayahu the prophet. Only the prophet Yeshayahu, whose eyes saw the king, the Lord of hosts, was allowed to scourge man's duty done by rote. And view it as a religious shortcoming. He's like, Yeshayahu said it, but only Yeshayahu, who saw God, was supposed to have religious emotion. The rest of you should not have religious emotion. We, by contrast, are enjoined to strive to this level of observance. When Yeshayahu curses you, he's like, no, no. Well, only once the religious routine has become entrenched in our lifestyle, has been firmly anchored in a consistent, unchanging pattern of behavior that is not impacted by changing moods and mindsets, does the option of further refinement of intent and awareness present itself. But even this, as Leibovich, would only be an enhancement, not an essential religious desideratum. Yeah, Leibovich is a very intense thinker. Like I said, he was very popular among secular thinkers, not so much amongst people who actually keep Torah, who mitzvot. So in the next section...
What do you do prayer?
Nothing!
Well,
Nothing.
It is in the long description.
Correct. Everything that you and I have been doing this year in Tefillah, Liebowitz would say, wrong. When you daven, it's because you have to. Why? Because you have to. What is the value? You are doing what you have to do. But aren't I speaking to God? No, God commanded you to speak as if you were speaking to God. No more questions.
Yes.
What? Yes. What? Would you really?
No, you would not have. Did
Nahum
believe in this stuff that he did?
No.
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 Was accepted in
Okay. Correct. And you should do it only for the fact that it's an obligation. Sure. Now, if you look at the next section, Rav Krumbein suggests that maybe you could essentially suggest a Leibovitchian philosophy, but only about Talmud Torah for Rav Chaim Volozhin. Okay? The problem, so that's one possibility. He doesn't love it. The problem is that the majority of the book of Nefesh HaChayim is, besides the fact that, as he said, Leibovitz literally takes the thing that Yeshayahu curses and said, yes, that thing, that's what I want you to do. Yeshayahu in his curse captured exactly what I would like you to do, which is such chutzpah. It is such chutzpah. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Reading Leibovitz's articles are sometimes just like, you're brilliant and like, wow. Right, as I once heard from one of my rebbeim, there are certain positions that you can only hold if you are the smartest person in the world, because only you can then negate all the obvious critiques. Right, you have to be really smart at some point to say something that is so patently absurd and defend it. So it is possible that Rav Chaim Volozhin said something like that. The problem is that the first three Sha'arim of Nefesh HaChaim are about Dveikut, about how do you come close to God. So it would be very weird if if he was a Leibovitchian. He's not. So then what do you do? So Rabbi Lam's solution is what he calls the dissociation principle. Is that Rav Chaim Volozhin specifically thinks that that's true, but that you shouldn't, that while you're learning Torah, there's parts of your life where you're involved in Dveikut, but when you're learning Torah, you should not. Your goal of Torah is Torah. And that's it. Okay? That's the way Rabbi Lam understands it. Rav Krumbein suggests a second possibility, which he calls the difference between objective versus motivation. What does that mean? So I'll tell you D here outside. Okay, so D outside, he notes that what is the background to Nefesh HaChaim? Why is he writing the Nefesh HaChaim? To critique the Hasidim. What are the Hasidim? What is this one of the central tenets of the Hasidim that Rav Chaim Volozhin really doesn't like? That Rav Chaim Volozhin doesn't like. I know I'm getting different Chaim. Okay, too many cats. So one of it was that they talked a lot about Dveikut, right? And they said, well, it's all about Dveikus, and it's about, right, all the different Avodah B'Gashmiut, and it doesn't matter, the Pintel Ayid, all the stories you think about of Hasidim, right? The people who are davening all day in Yom Kippur, and then there's the poor shepherd boy who doesn't know how to read, He doesn't know halacha, so he comes into the shul in Yom Kippur and starts playing his flute. You probably heard this story.
No,
this is like a classic Hasidic story. And all the you've heard it. And the people in the shul start yelling at him, you're violating Yom Kippur. And I think it's related to Yitzchak Kovradishov, but it could be some other Hasidic Rebbe, I'm not sure. Says, no, I saw in Shomayim that there was a Gzardin against the Jewish people. And none of your tefillot were helping. And then the pure, naive tefillah of this shepherd boy pierced the heavens. Right, like that type of thing.
Can you try to see this story class?
Me?
Yeah.
I am not a maggot.
Why was it so time over there? They needed learning.
No, it was not. That was a joke.
Yes. The maggot from...
Gather around the table, children. Kinderlach.
Oh. Yeah. Get a guitar, sing some music. Yeah, this is not my expertise. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
What?
You haven't read enough of them yet?
Oh, I have. I have, trust me. I've read many, many books of Chassidus Maisalach and all
Why?
That stuff. I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
I was a kid. I read all those Chassidus stories, all the Maggid books, you know, the Maggid speaks, the Maggid this, the Maggid that, Maggid that. I read all those.
Yeah, I love them.
What?
In the Looking Bed.
I read them. I don't know. They were nice stories. I don't know. But I'm not like a... I'm not... Anyways. So Reb Chaim Volozhin is writing... against this, but not because he disagrees with Dveikut, but because he thinks that Dveikut takes a tremendous amount of work. So if you look, he says, at the beginning... of the third, the end of the right before the fourth section, meaning the end of the third section, he says, "Dear reader, behold, I have with God's help guided you along the path of truth, and you shall see with your eyes. The more you accustom yourself to each of the aforementioned levels, additional purity will be added to your heart, both in Torah study and mitzvah fulfillment." What's the problem? What did he just say in his right before he gets to the fourth section? That if you follow the first three paths, then you will have added dveikut, including in Torah study. So what's going on? So if you look at the last page, so here, Rav Krumbein says that maybe what you have to do is, as he says, the objective versus the motivation. The point we just made can be more clearly in a certain light of our discussion in previous year as to how to define the question of Lishma. Are we interested in defining the purpose of learning or the inner emotional motivation to learn? Rabbi Lam, in explaining Rav Chaim's approach, placed the emphasis on the objective. And the objective of learning is the cognitive process itself, as Rav Chaim explicitly states in the third chapter. Rabbi Lam is aware of the fact that Nefesh HaChaim contains much more than cognition, and even concedes the necessity of this fact, since focusing exclusively on cognition ultimately reduces learning to a level of merely satisfying one's intellectual curiosity, meaning the problem of triviality. In Rabbi Lam's view, however, the talk of Yirat Shamayim and cosmic responsibility stands separate and apart from the central cognitive lishma, which constitutes the primary message introduced in Nefesh HaChaim. Thus, Rav Chaim, this is a quote from Rabbi Lam, while accenting above all else the cognitive definition of lishma, also includes, as essential to the whole conception of Torah, the functional and devotional definitions. And so, Rabbi Lam demonstrates how the Nefesh HaChaim mentions the need for the student to accept upon himself the practical observance of the Torah, and Rabbi Chaim also includes what has been broadly termed the devotional elements as subsidiary to the major theme for the sake of Torah. Right, so what's Rabbi Lam's solution? Because Rabbi Chaim Volozhin definitely cares about keeping the Torah, and he talks about Dveikut. So what's Rabbi Lam's solution? The intellectual cognition is the main thing. But you also need, no, Rabbi Lam's it, but there are secondary goals. Namely, you should obviously want to keep the Torah, and you should also want to be connected to God. But the actual main kavana, the goal of Torah is Torah for its own sake. However, Rav Krumbein suggests differently, and he says no. On the surface, however, this understanding seems peculiar. It emerges as the central component. The primary intention of the Chaim emphasizes the highest purpose of learning by its essence, lowers the stature of learning, and threatens to reduce it to the level of simply satisfying the desire for knowledge. The only thing that can save the learning from ruin is the support offered by the classic intentions of Lishma mentioned in other sources. Right? The functional and devotional intention, whose dethroning from the focal point of Lishma is Rav Chaim's primary message of the work. Is that understand? Rabbi Lam is going to agree that if you learn Torah Lishma and do not intend to keep the Torah, or you learn Torah Lishma and you have no interest in God, everyone agrees that that is useless. But that would be weird, because if Rav Chaim Volozhin thought that Torah Lishma is for its own sake, then why would it be that without the secondary kavanot, it's meaningless? And that's very odd. If,
I mean, it doesn't mean it's the own mitzvah just because you're doing it for its own sake.
I get it. So Rav Krum might suggest something else, and that is, that there's a difference between the end goal of Torah and what you're supposed to be experiencing when you learn Torah. Meaning, the goal of Torah might be to connect to God. It might be to keep mitzvot. But what is your experience while you're learning? Is it a devotional act, right? Because, for example, if you are a Brez lover, Rav Nachman suggests that it is legitimate and even desirable that one of the ways you learn Torah is you take a single Mishnah, you repeat it over and over and over until you enter like a meditative trance. Because for him, connecting with God is not just the goal of learning, but it's, yeah, it's the content of learning. What it means to learn is to enter into a devotional act. Rav Krum might suggest that's not what Rav Chaim Volozhin is. Rav Chaim Volozhin might acknowledge that at a very deep level, the purpose of learning is to connect to God. His chiddush is that how do you connect to God? Through, exactly, that the way is by focusing on the Torah itself. And if you read all of Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh HaChaim has a very complicated Kabbalistic idea, but it basically goes like this, that the world is affected by what we do, mystically, but Torah, but each, and each mitzvah is connected to a different aspect of the cosmos, but Torah is different because Torah connects directly, as it were, to the mind of God. It's like it gives you a shortcut into godliness. Because by understanding the content of Torah, what are you doing? Understanding Ki'ilu, God's mind. Right? So you have a direct connection, and therefore, according to Rav Chaim Volozhin, if I'm doing other mitzvot, I need to at least, to maximize their potential, I need to understand the kavanot, the Kabbalistic things that are going on. But when I'm learning Talmud Torah, I don't, because I'm tapping directly into whatever, Dad Hashem, Ratzon Hashem. If that's the case, then Lishma might not, it might not be that it's illegitimate to learn for the sake of connecting to God. It's just that if I enter into Talmud Torah as a devotional act, then rather than with desire to understand Torah, I'm not going to accomplish what I want, because the way you connect to God is by actually connecting, which is why if you go through, Rav Chaim Volozhin thinks that before you learn, you focus on God. And periodically, Rav Chaim Volozhin also says that you should take a moment. You missed it. We were quoting Yeshayahu Leibovitz, who says that when Yeshayahu says mitzvot anashim alumada, that's how you're supposed to do mitzvot. That Yeshayahu, when he curses those people, that's only because Yeshayahu is on a high level. The average person should do that lechatchila. And anything else would be wrong. Yes. What? So he says, once again, we see the issue of Lishma relates not to the definition of the purpose of learning generally, but rather to the deep emotional involvement of the student. Indeed, this is Rav Chaim's goal throughout the fourth section. Needless to say, in order for the cognitive learning to serve as the focus of the student's existential involvement, we must understand full well the significance of Torah, both in the objective sense as well as the personal experience of the student. What is there in Torah that has the capacity to rouse my most fundamental loyalty, the awareness regarding which Rav Chaim said that if we fail to perceive it properly, we can drown in a stormy sea? The author diligently addressed this question in the fourth section of his work. As noted above, his objective was to, quote, stir the hearts of those who desire to attach themselves to the love of his Torah, an objective that is clearly not a cognitive one, and rather appeals to the student's deepened emotions. Rav Chaim felt obliged to create an inner identification with Torah in order to endear its students to his readers, not only on the rational level, but in the manner that he constantly emphasizes karaui as warranted or properly. This is not a trivial goal by any means, but rather a very demanding one, which requires contemplation, internalization, and in-depth thought. So now let's go back to Chaim Volozhin and let's see which is right. So we read the first two paragraphs last time, but now let's try to get through a little bit more here. I'm getting that exhausted point of Thursdays. One second, let me take. So if you look at the third paragraph in the Nefesh HaChaim, he says as follows: Omnam vaday, it is certain. De'i efshar lomar she'ein sarach lenyan ese isikat rashum Torah machshav yirat Hashem chalila. You cannot say that one who learns Torah does not need purity of mind and fear of God. You see now why Rav Krumbein says what he says, right? That it can't be. He says, "Sharei Mishnah Shleim Hashaninu," because the Mishnah tells us, "Ein Yira, Ein Chachma." If there's no fear of God, there is no wisdom. Va'amru, and the Gemara says in Yoma, "Mashalamad over Domez and Mechir Biyad Ksil Eknon Chachma V'Leiv Ayin Oylem LaTimidei Chamsha Oskim B'Tarav Einim Yerushamayim." Woe to the Tamidei Chachamim who learn Torah and have no Yirat Shamayim, Vishmot Rabbah. It says, Kol Mishu Yodav, Ein Biyado Yirat Chayt. If you learn Torah and you're not fear of sin, Ein Biyado Klum, you have nothing. Shaklipot Shal Torah B'Yirat Chayt. Shaklipot, I don't know. Uvak Domen HaZohar, and the Zohar says, Amar Rashbi, Shayira, Ihi Tara Li La Lego Memnuta, Vavkudei Da Itkayim Kol Alma, etc., etc., right? So he quotes all these statements from Zohar, all these questions from Chazal, Kol Sheyirat Cheto Kodemet L'Chachmato, Chachmato Met Kayemet, then anyone who has Yirat Chet prior to his wisdom will last. Ki Yirat Hashem Tchila Hi Ikra Kim Shal Chachman HaTorah. Because fear of God is what keeps your Torah going. Similarly, the Gemara in Shabbat famously says, "Vayumin retecha emuna to seder zrayim." Right, emuna is seder zrayim. And the Gemara is quoted darshan the pasuk that Yirat Hashem hi otsaro. Yirat Hashem is the otsar, meaning, yeah, it's the otsar machzik bo hamon tzvod v'sham betachosh. Yirat Hashem hi otsar lechachmanat Torah kedosha. Fear of God is the storage house of Torah. Shal yada titkayim etzal adam, and only in that way will it last. And if you didn't prepare this storehouse first, it's like leaving the Torah in the field to be trampled on by animals. And it won't last at all. That if someone's learning halacha and agada and he doesn't have yirat chet, he has nothing. Right, so in this paragraph, what does it sound like? Does he not care about yirat shamayim? Is that part of kavana? No, it's prior, and this is why Rav Krumbein says, "Well, how do you work it out?" Yeah, lishma for him, obviously, the end goal is connecting to God, keeping mitzvot. All that's part of it. Lishma means that is a recognizing that it's not enough to feel that you're close to God. To be close to God is to be deeply immersed in the content of Dvar Hashem. That's Lishma. I don't engage in Torah as a devotional act. But is it devotional? Does it lead towards devotion? Yes. So this is the major machloket between Rabbi Lam and Rav Krumbein and what Rav Chaim Volozhin meant. Does he mean that the goal of Talmud Torah is Torah itself, or that the experience of Talmud Torah is, I'm learning Torah because I'm learning Torah, even though I'm cognizant in the back of my mind that the framework in which I exist is Yirat Shamayim, is Avad Hashem, is all those other things. In the next section, he says, the larger your storehouses of fear, the more Torah you can put in. It doesn't sound like Yerat Shamayim is not part of this. It is very much part of it. In fact, it's very nice mashal, meaning it's what stores it. It's not the content. It's the framing, not the content. As opposed to the Hasidim who thought it was the content. He said, a father who's giving his son produce will only give what he can handle. Because even if your hand was open, if the son can't take more because there is no otsar, he wouldn't give him more. And if the kid doesn't prepare it, he won't have it. And he says, that's the same with God. That the rov chachma binadir, the more chachma, right, the more fear of God, the more wisdom he can give you. So if you prepare more Yirat Hashem, you'll get more Torah. Skip to the end of this paragraph. I move war. Hagam sher yira mitzvah echad rim sham reish bez kol mitzvah nein shabbat lever echad mea Torah. Amna mitzvah kniyat ayira amimena yitbarach rabba imahot. So acquiring this is a great mitzvah. Why mitzvah shimu chracha lekara kiyum b'shimra Torah kedosha? Because it's necessary for the Torah. Without fear of God, it'll be disgusted in the eyes of people. So you need fear of God before Torah. And this is the true path of God. And now this is the kicker. How does Chaim Volozhin say you should get yourself ready to learn? Before you learn, you have to sit down. At least for a little bit. And focus on fear, pure fear of God. And from the depth of your heart, so that your Torah will be pure. And you'll be ready to cling to God. So you can be able to cling to God, which is halacha. But now what does he say? One second. Vazehu davuk bo yitparach mamash kivyachol. And by learning Torah, you cling to God. Ki hu yitparach uritzon elcha. Now, you don't realize this is mystical. Now, halachic man, at some level, is nefesh hachaim demystified. If you read Al Khman, you'll realize he quotes this part, but he takes out the Kabbalah in the middle. But in the Kabbalistic version, he says, whatever this means, God and his will are one, like it says in the Zohar, and therefore, Chol Din Malach Mitar Kadosha, and therefore, every halacha, Hu Ritzono Yitbarach, is an expression of God's will. Shegain Gazar Ritzono, Shegde Kacha Din Kasher Apostle Tamev Tahor Asr Mutar Chayev Zakai. And the same thing is true of Avagada. And every chiddush that everyone says, and he quotes many, many, many sources about this. So we looking three lines from the bottom. L'chein kol haTorah kedushata shavet lishum chiluk v'shinui klal chas v'shalom. So every part of Torah is equal. Kol ki hakol davar didvar piv yitbarach shemo mamash. Because all of it is the words of his mouth, literally. Im chaser v'sover v'sever Torah od achad. If you're missing one letter, mafsik. Etc. So what is Rav Chaim Volozhin saying? Right? So Rav Krum might argue is what you see. He thinks you're supposed to start every time you learn a moment of meditation about God. So does that sound like someone who thinks that? So Rabbi Lam says that shows you that the cognitive goal is Iker, but you need it to be propped up by Limud Avodat Lasod, Avod Hashem, Yirat Hashem. If Krumbine says, no, it'd be very weird for secondary goals to be what makes it meaningful. He says the difference is that he thinks that Talmud Torah is about reaching Avod Hashem and Yirat Hashem, but because the act of Talmud Torah is coming to know God's will, because Torah is an expression of God's will, what makes Talmud Torah special is coming into contact with the content of Torah. Therefore, Lishma isn't about why am I doing it, it is how am I doing it. once I understand and I'm grounded in Yirat Shamayim, then while I'm learning, what I should be concentrating in is not every word. Oy, how can I avoid borer? And what does this tell me about how I connect to God? How do I cook? How do I warm up food on Shabbos? And how does this connect me to God? That, no, it's not devotional. The content you learn for the content's sake, experientially. But in terms of the framework, the devotional is true. The practical is true. So that's the major machloket between Rabbi Lam and Rav Krumbein into what lishma of Rav Chaim Volozhin means. Moshe, your question, then I want to give you one more comment. Obviously, lishma is a much more sugya, but we already spent two shurim on it. There's a reason it's an important topic. Yes. You're not comfortable with either version. You want a devotional version.
It's not that you're just going to be doing it because you're learning it. It's not that you're just going to be. You can't be. You say, like, you're not just. You get into what we're not just be doing. So then I would assume that you're supposed to be like, what does this mean? How do I understand it? Right? It's understanding it and then.
Yeah, that's your understanding. It's the yes or what?
But you're still doing it. Because you're trying to, with the goal of trying to understand God, there's no way that you're like you're referring back to doing it for its own.
So Rav Chaim Volozhin does not seem to agree to what you're saying. Meaning, according to Rabbi Lam, he just thinks no, you're learning it to understand it. That's it. According to Rav Krumbein, is no, you're aware that the framework is Yirat Shamayim and Avad Hashem and whatever. But while you're learning it, no, you're supposed to focus on it. You're not supposed to think about things outside of it. Even though they're true at some level, you're supposed to be devotional. You're not supposed to be... It's not a devotional act. Really? Okay. Who is going to have better lumdus and shir? Let's put it straight. Who's going to have better lumdus and shir? The person who, while he's learning it every minute, is like, how does this connect to my spiritual life? Or the person who says, listen, I know I'm doing this because God wanted it and I'm trying to connect to God, but right now, I'm trying to understand Tosfot.
Right.
And I'll tell you that realistically, the second person is probably going to be more successful. Now, you're right, a Hasidish person, not all, a Breslover, okay, is going to tell you, no, if at that moment you're learning Tosfot, you're not having an experiential act, it's lacking. And here I think that however you go with Rav Chaim Volozhin can say, no. If you start getting all spiritual...
No, it's not that. You're never not going to learn something and then just say, okay, I'm going to learn. Always going to come back and connect to the higher idea with the framework.
I'm not sure. Not actively. Meaning, sure, in the sense that God wants you to do this as Dvar Hashem and Ratzon Hashem, fine. But, like, I don't think... Rav Chaim Volozhin is going to tell you at the end of every shir, you have to say, okay, how does this connect to my broader spiritual life? It's like, no, you understand that being engaged in Talmud Torah is part of your spiritual life, and that's...
You gain
knowledge of Dvar Hashem, which for him, especially, remember, he's a mystic. As a Kabbalist, he says, yes, you now, God and somehow and his will are somehow one, and you've tapped into that. Don't explain to me how that... Don't try to explain to me what that means. I don't really know. But... I don't think you're right. I think I'm fine you saying that the both of these
you're
of Rav Chaim Volozhin. No, he doesn't like either of them. He doesn't like either. He likes the more Hasidish devotional idea that the process of Talmud Torah is itself devotional. No, Rav Lam didn't say that.
Right.
Neither did Rav Krumbein. Neither of them did. They both agree Rav Chaim Volozhin doesn't want to do that. Look, but remember, this is a big difference between, think about the Nafka Mina. If you think that the only purpose of Talmud Torah is Lomono Lazod, you end up with Rav Avadya, is you should only learn Halacha L'maisa. You shouldn't learn Kadshim. That should be last on your list. If you're at the devotional thing, that the only point is Avodah Hashem, again, you don't necessarily need to learn everything. right? You still might have to learn practical things. But if you're Chaim Volozhin and the act of Talmud Torah and knowing Torah is itself a way of coming to know God, then every detail of every sugya in Zvachim, remember the way he started. What? No, it is something else. It's not really, that's where you're wrong. That's not what Chaim Volozhin believes. It is. Meaning, somehow, and I don't understand how, this sugya in Zvachim, in Tmura, in whatever, in Uktzin, is an expression of Dvar Hashem. And by engaging in it, even if I don't feel spiritual at that moment, and it's never going to be practical in my life, somehow engaging with this content is an experience, not experientially, like feeling. It is, in reality, metaphysically, engaging with Hashem. Not it leads to. It is. What? Correct, because you're gaining knowledge of Torah, and Torah is Dvar Hashem. Correct, meaning, and therefore it's everything, right? That obsession that Chaim Volozhin has, learn everything. Why everything? Because everything is an expression of godliness. And you have to know it, you have to engage with it, you have to connect to it. Not connect emotionally. I mean, maybe you can also. That's not the point. No, that's where Chaim Volozhin clearly does not say that. He just says, it is. It is Ratzon Hashem. Yeah, learning Torah is a process of learning about God. Not leads to, is. Big difference. Identity claim. This is an identity claim. That the Torah, at some level, metaphysically, is godliness. And therefore, learning Torah is an act of coming into contact with godliness. Not it leads to godliness. It is godliness. That's different.
And you're doing that because it's...
No. Period. That's it. No. Stop doing this. No. Not because... That's the point. It's an identity claim.
You need action.
What? Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Action isn't knowledge of God. Action is knowledge of God. That's the purpose.
Like, that is what you were doing.
That's it.
Yeah.
You
can say whatever you want, but this is what he's saying. No. Moshe, I'm not saying you have to accept from Chaim Volozhin, but you can't deny that's what he's saying. I'm giving you two perspectives of what he's saying. He's definitely not saying what you're saying. Definitely not. So again, we raise two perspectives. Roy Lamb's perspective, which is he thinks that the actual goal of learning Torah is knowing Torah, that's it. And the other goals are just ancillary, and they boost it. Rav Krummein thinks, no, the framework is Avad Hashem, Yerad Hashem. But the experience of Talmud Torah is one of engaging in Dvar Hashem. That's it. That's what it is. Not like I don't keep second-guessing myself and saying, how does this connect to my life? You don't. It is what it is. That's also important, but that's not... I'm not saying that this is the only view to take, and I'm trying to understand what Chaim Volozhin right now. Yeah. Okay. We're already... I want to give you one last thing, and this is... I gave you just one paragraph from Wolkenstein. I'm going to summarize it outside, and then I'll read you just the few lines I gave you. Wolkenstein wrote a very fascinating article trying to mimiyashiv istira in the Rambam. The Rambam, in one place, seems to say, based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, that osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah applies, or the idea that when you're involved in a mitzvah, it exempts you from other mitzvot, applies to all mitzvot except for Talmud Torah. That's what the Gemara says. If Efshar Lazo Leidei Achirim, if other people can do the mitzvah, if Efshar Lazo Leidei Achirim, if the mitzvah can be done by somebody else who can keep learning, but if it can't, then Oseg B'mitzvah does not apply by Talmud Torah. You have to stop learning and do the mitzvah. However, the Rambam in Hilchot Ishud, Perek Tetvav Halacha Aleph and Bet, justifies pushing off getting married to learn Torah based on Oseg B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah V'kol Shekein B'Talmud Torah, especially Talmud Torah. So all the Achronim try to figure out what is going on. No, but you can. But being married, now you have responsibilities. Yeah. Don't be so formal. So all the Acharim try to figure out what's going on. So some distinguish between the mitzvah of learning Torah and knowing Torah. Right, this is the Balatanya, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, right? That Yediyat Torah has a set amount. Like, I need to know Kol Torah Kula. That's a set amount. I can push off marriage for that because Osik Mitzvah Patar Mitzvah until I finish. Once I know Kol Torah Kula, then I have the mitzvah of Limud Torah, which is constant. So if I would push off mitzvah while I was doing Limud Torah, I'd never get any mitzvah done. So you can't. That's one possibility. Well, whatever. Different Acharim, different ones. Rav Lichtenstein has the following very clever thesis, which is inspired, I think, by Rav Chaim Volozhin. And it goes like this. He says as follows. Remember that we saw the Yerushalmi that said, don't you agree that if you learn Shelo Lishma, that your placenta should have been turned inside out to be worth, if you never, and that was part of the Gemara's justification of why you should stop Talmud Torah to do mitzvot, right, to say Kriyat Shema, right? That was the context in the Gemara. So Rav Aaron suggests that maybe Osig Mitzvah Patzer Mena Mitzvah applies to Talmud Torah. Of course it applies to Talmud Torah. What's the problem? One of the definitions of Talmud Torah is Lumura Lasot. So Raran comes with this following Kiddush. If I'm learning Torah and a mitzvah comes my way and it's Efshar and Lasot Derechem and I don't stop to do it, then what have I done? I've revealed that my Torah is not Amanat Lasot, which means that it becomes not Talmud Torah. No, it becomes not Talmud Torah. And if it's... So he argues not. That if it's Efshal Asot Yidei Acherim, then why am I not doing it? Not because I don't value the mitzvah, because I know it's going to get done. Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. Not if the rules allow you to do this. He argues the same thing is true by Kiddushin. Why by Kiddushin? Because it's not saying you're not going to do the mitzvah. It's saying you're going to do the mitzvah later. So that's not saying I don't value the mitzvah. It just means, right? If I was abandoning the mitzvah, I would not be on that lasso.
Would there be any other mitzvah you could also push off?
Potentially. A mitzvah that you wouldn't lose out by pushing it off. So he argues, right? So if you look, but then he says that this, for him, allows him to come up with a different chop in Rav Chaim Volozhin, which is, Lishma means, no. Lishma is I learned Torah for the sake of Torah. But we asked, right, Rav Krumbein asked, but where's the value of Lumon Lasot? So where does Rav Aaron put it? Very good. The Lishma of Talmud Torah is just for the Shema Torah. But the Hefta Shel Torah is not Torah unless it's Luma Manat Lasso.
It's not the purpose.
Bidyuk, it's the exact opposite. Is that the Hefta Shel Talmud Torah is Luma Manat Lasso?
It's not that
but the Lishma is not. Bidyuk. So if you look at 12, he says, we may suggest the provision of Osik Mitzvah Pratam and Amitzvah theoretically applies to Torah study as well. However, in order for the study Torah to grant such an exemption, it must bear a certain quality. Namely, that it is studied with the purpose of performing. When study is not accompanied by a sense of obligation and preparedness to bring the material to practical expression, it is inherently deficient and blemished. Undoubtedly, Torah learning involves more than a Hechsher Mitzvah. Right? Remember the Beit Halevi? It can't just be a Hechsher Mitzvah. Torah study is, in and of itself, is of inestimable value. In fact, that is the level of Torah study for its own sake that the sages praise so profusely, as Rav Chaim Volozhin emphasizes at great length. Nevertheless, Torah study bears this value only when the individual learns out of an ambition, desire to carry out what is demanded by the material he studies. Thus, when a mitzvah comes one's way, when one is in the midst of studying, one must interrupt one's learning, since one thereby passes the test of whether or not one studies for the sake of performing. This does not mean that one involved in Torah study does not earn an exemption from mitzvah. Rather, it flows from the fact that if he would not interrupt his learning, his very status as an osek b'Torah, one involved in Torah learning, would be called into question, and his learning would lack the dimension of amanat lasso for the sake of performing. This involves not a limitation of the provision of osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah with respect to Talmud Torah, but rather a redefinition of the type of Torah study that is capable of creating an exemption from mitzvah. So exactly. That amanat lasso is the cheftza shel Torah, lishma is the goal of Torah. But Lilman Olazo actually primes itself differently in the Cheftza. So that's Rav Aaron's way of squaring the Ruchaim Balashin, this is yours, Ruchaim Balashin circle. We'll leave it with that. There's obviously a lot more to say about Lishma. Oyvei. But we will stop here. I've given you enough perspective at least to chew on.